Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. After Jesus had finished all of his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And there was a centurion there that lived at the far end of the town. And he had a slave whom he highly valued, who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent a group of religious leaders to him to ask if he might come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying to him, "He's worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it was he who built us our place of worship." So Jesus came with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent some of his friends to say to Jesus, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at the man. And he said to the crowd that had followed him, "I tell you, not even among those who worship God have I heard such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterward, Jesus came to the town of Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd followed him. As he approached the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out. Now, he was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her, and he said, "Woman, do not weep." And he came forward and touched the stretcher, and the bearers stopped. And then he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Now, fear seized all of them. And they began to glorify God, saying, "Truly a great prophet has risen among us, and God has glorified his people and looked favorably on them." And this word about Jesus, it began to spread all through Judea and the surrounding country. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We have a spectacular backyard. It is a glorious place to be, especially in the late evening. Oh, word for children. Thank you. I'll start again in a minute. See if I can start as well. So I'd like to ask the young people to come forward. We have a special word that's just for you. And Nijik is going to lead. She's so patiently wondering if she's going to have to stand during the whole sermon. The story this morning is a story about a baby hippo called Owen. And then the story that we just heard about the young man who was raised. So have a great time. Sorry about that. Okay, I'll start again. My backyard is still a glorious place to be. It's a great place to be in the late evening. And not because of the fence, and not even because of the birdhouses that Marvin made, not even because of the deck and the chairs, but it's because of the stuff that God has filled the yard with, and because I'm being tutored by people who know what to do with such things. Right, so we have this beautiful lawn, great trees, glorious plants that flower, and you know, I'm learning how to attract hummingbirds and butterflies, and we now have bees. And this little wren has taken up residence in your little yellow house, Marvin. it is great. And when I'm in the yard and I'm in the midst of all of the natural wonders in my yard, I can't help but think that God is holy. God is so holy and so wholly mysterious to make such creatures and such things. And you might guess that I love the birds and the bees and the flowers and the plants, and I feel very deeply God's call to care for the things that have been entrusted to us. And that's why this week, when I saw a documentary, a trailer for a documentary, I was really shaken to the core of my soul. So there's this documentary out there, and it's called Emptying the Skies. And the premise of the documentary is that there is this migratory pattern for songbirds in Europe, and it cuts through this really narrow channel or pathway right over the island of Cyprus. And there are people on this island of Cyprus who are setting traps for the songbirds, catching the songbirds and pickling them and selling them as a delicacy. In 2015, over 1 million songbirds were trapped and killed. And so I sit in my yard and I see the little wren, and I think it's one in a million. And I think, what is the matter with people? But if I sit long enough, I remember that God is holy. I remember that God is holy. And it's not just songbirds that trouble me. Syria is a wreck. Over half of its 22 million people have either been displaced or killed. It's undergoing some sort of horrific transformation. But if I sit long enough, I remember that God is holy. You know, I always want God to do for me what I want God to do for me. I don't think I'm alone in that. We want God to do for us what we want God to do for us. But if my life has taught me anything, it's this. God is not a vending machine. We don't get to try to figure out what the right prayers are, or how many days attendance in worship, or how many good deeds we have to put into this God machine so that when we pull the handle, we get what we want. And yet God is holy. God is holy, mysterious, and awesome. Someone, I think it was Martin Luther King Jr., once said, "The arc of the universe is bent towards justice," meaning that the future is bent towards equity. The future is bent towards peace and harmony and the abundance of the fruit of God's Spirit. We're going through a hellish time in Alberta. You know, as if what's happened to oil and gas isn't enough, Fort McMurray is burned to the ground. And when you sit in your own life as you deal with the atrocities around you, do you sit long enough to remember that God is holy? Do you believe God is holy? Do you believe God is holy and mysterious and powerful? when I look over the last year, there are certain atrocities I would love to undo. And how I wish, especially for the people that I love, that I could say the right prayers and do the right things and pull the right handle and get what I want. But that's not how it works. And yet underneath, I still hear a whisper from the universe, from the arc of the future, that calls out to me, God is holy. God is holy. And I wonder, what does it mean to have a holy God if we don't get what we want? The centurion sent religious people to Jesus. Yeah, it was like saying the right prayer and doing the right thing. And he sent his friends. But it was only when Jesus heard of his humility. Here was a man who was a Roman officer, caught in the system of the Roman Empire, who, by the way, was raping and pillaging people, taking whole towns, dethroning kings, and this man is a cog in that wheel. And he sends other people to Jesus because he thinks he's not worthy to even ask. Like, we don't want to miss this. This is not a religious guy. This isn't even a good guy. This isn't even a nice guy. And he says, oh Lord, I'm not worthy. Don't trouble yourself to come in my roof. I mean, into my house. I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. Just say the word and let him be healed. What do you think of that? Jesus healing the slave of a bad guy. Why did Jesus do that? Because he's holy. Because he's holy. And because he's holy, he knows that the arc of the future is bent towards abundance and healing and peace. And it is not beyond Jesus to heal the slave of a bad guy. Why? Because he's holy. Of course, people are amazed. So they follow him as he leaves Capernaum and heads toward Nain. And there, at the gate of the city, is a dead man being carried out. Now, there's nothing in the story to indicate Jesus knew up from down from these people. He's just traveling around, and here's a funeral procession. But when he looks at this woman, he sees her. You know what I mean by sees? He sees her. And why does he see her? Because he's holy. He sees her and has compassion. And he approaches her dead son and says, young man, I say to you, rise. And gives him back to his mother. Why does Jesus care for a widow he doesn't know? A little bit louder. Because he's holy. Because he's holy. See, Jesus cares about songbirds. Why? Because he's holy. And he cares about Syrians. Why? Because he's holy. And he cares about ISIS. Why? Because he's holy. And he sees you. Why? He sees you. The way he saw that widow. He sees me in my yard crying about songbirds when I have more important things to cry about. He sees me. He sees you. Why? Because he's holy. The future is bent. It's not bent towards destruction and annihilation. It's not bent towards wiping out of the countries. The future is bent towards skies filled with songbirds. The future is bent towards a homeland for those who've been displaced. The future is bent towards changed hearts for those who are doing atrocious things. Why? Because he's holy.